Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Well, it's a real pleasure to introduce Hassan, who plays for the England blind cricket team. So welcome on board, Hassan.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Michael.
And it'd be interesting, would you like to give us a bit of a background, maybe, you know, about yourself and how you got into cricket and just generally the things you like and your life so far, I suppose?
Goodness. Well, my cricketing career, so to speak, started about 11 years ago when my school contacted a local club to see if they wanted enthusiastic blind cricketers. And they were indeed looking for blind cricketers. So they invited me and my friend, so there's three of us. We went up to Highgate to train with these guys who were men, held down good jobs, had families. We were frightened, and I mean I remember stepping in onto the pitch and I thought, I've been playing at school, this is the real boy stuff, and I don't think I can ever deal with it. I don't even think I'll be privileged if I ever get to wear their uniform. And this is the league side, Metro, who are based in London, Highgate. We did the training and we went back to school. We enjoyed it, but we never really thought we'd get a call of any sorts to play in a match. But 2 weeks later, I had a call from Hendrik Swanepoel, then captain, who said to me, look, I'm really sorry that I don't have space for your friends yet, but I would like to invite you to your first match. This was when I was 16, and as a 16-year-old, it was almost dreams. It was dreams coming true in an instant. I remember feeling elated. It was just unbelievable because I dreamt of wearing the uniform, let alone playing in an actual match, and that's where it all began. My cricket life, I played the first match, took two or three catches, and it just all kicked off from there. It's been a dream since. Well, after a year of playing for them, they were rather impressed by my behaviour on the field and my cricketing skills, which I don't know what they saw. They are blind. They were impressed by me. They were impressed by my attitude, so they invited me to the England blind cricket team. This was extraordinary. I mean, I'd never even heard of such a thing, that the England blind cricket team, did it actually exist? Because I lost my sight at the age of three. And apparently, before that, I was pretty much born with a bat in my hand. They just thought, with the passion as a child that I had, I would always go on to play for then Pakistan, because I was born and bred there. And then I lost my sight at the age of three, so, you know, this put a stop to my cricket. I never actually ever thought about the game again. I'd really enjoy watching or listening to my uncles play, but I never really thought that I'd ever pick up a bat, because, well, over there they just make you feel useless if you have a disability. So this was just something extraordinary. However, when I went to my first training in 2004 with the England lads, I had the worst weekend I could remember in cricket. It was a different ball, different lads, different personalities. I was, you know, brought up in a blind school. I wasn't really used to, you know, what goes on in a team environment. And I remember coming back and sitting in my room and thinking, there's another failure to add to your, you know, to your list, because I'm quite negative. I said to my parents, I'm really sorry. I know you might have had a dream of me playing for England. It's never going to happen. I remember going back to school and my headmaster called me and I thought, oh God, what's happened? He said, how did it go? We're going to put it in a magazine. You've gone and trained with the England team. I said, I'm really sorry, Mr. Legate, but it's not going to be. I had a dream, but not every dream is meant to be. It's not going to be. And I remember he pulled out, he had almost like a tennis-sized ball with a globe. You know, one of those balls that you squeeze when you're stressed. He said, yeah, take this. It's a globe. It's a globe. The world is in your hands. Now it's up to you how you deal with this ball and it's how you deal with cricket. And for a week, I hadn't played any kind of cricket, because at school, I'd play with friends day in, day out. And I remember that week when I then picked up a bat, we used to play in a gym. I smashed I smashed the ball straight up and it smashed the lights in the gym, school gym. And being from a background that I was, I thought, oh God, I don't think we're going to be able to afford that. And I went to the headmaster. I said, look, really sorry. I think I've smashed your lights. How much trouble am I in? He said, look, I'm going to let you off with it if you stick with England. So, oh my goodness. I never was going to get back to England. It was just never going to be for me. However, in 2005, they had a change of captains. It was the captain who had took me on to play the league cricket, Hendrik Swanepoel. Mm-hmm. And just to touch on the guy, he made me, from a little boy, who was scared of tubes, scared of independence, to the man that I am now. And unfortunately, he's not with us no longer. But he was the captain, and he said, look, come and try it, because I believe in you. Give it a go. We're off to Sri Lanka in 2 months. This was in 2005. Come play for us, please. And when he spoke like that, you couldn't. He was a bronze medalist in the Olympics. He did javelin, I think. And when he spoke, you know not to ignore him. And I went back. It wasn't the best, but I made some adaptations to myself. I changed myself as a person. I thought, it's time for you to change, not for the game to change. So I did that, and I had my first cap in Sri Lanka in 2005.
Wow, fantastic. So you're glad you went back then?
Well, absolutely. But, you know, and it's for Hendrik to change something in me that he did, because, you know, one of the things that really, really bothered me and stopped me from playing cricket was, and I don't want to say it, but it's changed now, was my parents. They, you know, when you're growing up, especially in an Asian home, they're very overprotected. Mm. So much so that they don't even want you to do the things you enjoy, because they think, oh, well, my son's visually impaired. What if he goes on a tube on his own and falls or so, anything? I don't know what they think about, but initially it was a fight to play cricket. And I wasn't only fighting with my family, I was fighting with myself to be a better person. And why was I playing cricket? Did I enjoy it, or was I doing just for my family's name? I couldn't figure it out, but I figured it out now. I play it because I enjoy it, and I play it because my family are proud of me. But initially it was very, very hard. And now cricket has changed me into an independent man that I am now. I mean, I now travel on my own. I can travel around the world. I've traveled around the world with the England blind cricket team. I am not scared of tubes like I was. I remember the first time that we had our match, one of the players had to come down from his home to my station, sit with me on the train all the way to the match. Now it's all changed. It's given me confidence. It's made me believe that I'm worth something, which wasn't always the case when I was living out in Pakistan.
That's brilliant. That's so inspirational, because there'll be people listening who perhaps, you know, have maybe thought about joining a sporting team, whatever sport it is, and thought, oh, I can't do that. And that's just so nice to hear that you can.
With what I love about the VI community is what we are, especially Metro, we don't just play cricket. I mean, if you look on their website, they do an awful lot of other things, social events, from swimming to bowling, bowls, football for visually impaired people, skiing trips. They do an awful lot. And I know people go on about me saying, oh, they say often that I always go on about cricket. It's because it's my interest. But also, I'm not going to sit here and kid you. It was very difficult in the beginning. But I can only sit here and tell you how much it improved my life, not on the field, but off the field. Mm. You know, independence, you know, watching those grown men made me believe that I want to be like that. I want to be able to live my own. I want to be able to lead my own life. And they taught me that. It was actually what I've gained from cricket is more what I've gained off the field rather than on the field.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really inspirational.
And that puts you in a good life position, doesn't it? It's like you said, cricket is one part of it, but your life and in the future, you know, many years to come, you'll have that confidence to tackle the world and and you know, nothing's too difficult, really. Might be hard, but not too difficult.
Listen, it's very, when you have a disability, it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself. It's very easy, and there is this perception of people saying, oh, blind people, they sit in a corner and they can't do much else. There is that perception. You have to get up. The community that I'm from, it's tough. They are tough people. I'm not treated like a blind person as such. I'm treated as a, you know, well, I hate the word normal, but, you know, they think that I'm a normal guy who should be doing well, who should be out there playing cricket, who should be scoring hundreds or hundreds for England. That's not realistic. What is realistic is that what I'm learning, being with these guys, going on tour and representing my country, and people say, you go on about cricket so much. Not everyone gets to score a goal or score a run for their country. And you know, you've got to consider where I'm from. I'm from a village of 200 people. You know, moving here when I was 9, I couldn't speak a word of English, had not a single day in a school. So there was a lot of pressure on me to do well. And cricket is just being part of it. And you know, I'm not actually show off about it, but when I sit down and I have 2 minutes to myself, I think, and when I have my down moments, I think, actually, you did okay, because you might not have been able to play mainstream cricket, but you achieved the dream in a different way.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the difference between playing for sort of in a league and then playing for your country? Because you said earlier when we chatted before the interview that there are differences.
Yeah, the international game and the league game, it's two different beasts in a way. The cricket in itself, it's based on the standard laws of mainstream cricket. There are some essential modifications made. Two of the basic ones are the ball in itself and the stumps. I'll talk through the league game. The league game, the stumps are slightly bigger than what you have in mainstream game, so that the people who are totally blind can feel and adjust themselves in the crease. There are a few categories that play blind cricket, and this is in the league and international. You have B1, they're totally blind. Then you have a B2 who can make out the ball from close up. B3, they can make out the ball from often quite far out. And B4s, who have excellent eyesight. A B4 can't play in the international game, though. They don't. They've got too much sight for the international game. The ball in the league is a size 3 football. So when we're playing cricket in parks or around the country, people are saying, why are you playing cricket with a football? It's not cricket, man. And we try to explain to them that you know, the blind people find it easier to see or hear. And it's got ball bearings in. So the stumps and the ball are the only thing that are different. The totally blind people, B1s like myself, we have our runs doubled and we can catch the ball on a bounce. Other than that, to be honest with you, the game is so similar to the mainstream game. It's that's why I love it so much. And the international game, here's a different beast in itself. The ball is from a size 3 to almost like a tennis ball size ball. And it's got ball bearings in. It's got it sounds like a baby's rattle almost when it's rolling. It's got a seam as a ball does in the mainstream game. And I have one here actually. So that sounds quite horrendous when you're close up, but on the field we really do need that noise. In the league game, we bowl overarm, whereas in the international, we bowl underarm. Because you're bowling underarm, people who can't see the ball as well, they're getting to the ground every ball in what they call in cricket a sweep shot. They're sweeping every ball, so you have to have excellent fitness and excellent joints, really, because you're someone like me, if I bat 10 overs, I'm going down for 10 overs every ball. Because I can't see it, I'm having to get down onto the floor with a horizontal bat and sweep. Other than that, it's similar to a mainstream game. We have World Cup every 2 years now. So every 2 years, we have a 2020 World Cup or a 40 over a World Cup. This year, we have a World Cup in South Africa in November, where the squad hasn't been announced by the ECB yet. The last World Cup was held in India 2 years ago in 2020. There was a 2020 World Cup, which India defeated Pakistan in the final. And often I tell people about blind cricket and the international scene, and they're quite shocked that there's no pictures or TV coverage of our game in this country. Well, that's not the case in other countries. In somewhere like India and Pakistan, where I've played in World Cups, you know, the semi-final and the finals are on normal mainstream channels. And that's just amazing to be thinking that you're playing in a semi-final in front of the cameras. In the final in Pakistan in 2006, they had well over 10,000 people coming to watch the game. Wow. I mean, we'll be lucky if we get 10 people in this country to come and watch us.
Mm. Oh, well, we'll have to advertise it. You'll have to let us know. Seriously, we could...
Excuse me. Yeah, it's one man and his dog come to watch us, but so not too much coverage, but we still go on and do well.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Mm. No, I think that as much as anything, it's been a really inspirational story for everybody to listen to, hasn't it, Michael?
It has, and I just appreciate it. Sometimes I think I should have done more when I were younger and had more time. So, yeah, but you're never too old. That's the thing with sport. You can be older, but you can get into it for pleasure and meeting people and just, you know. And at the end of the day, it's healthier lifestyle and it's good for you.
Oh, it really is. I mean, if you think about Metro, the youngest player on our books who plays, it's actually a girl. She's 15. And then the oldest is 69.
See, that's it as well, isn't it? Girls can get involved. It's not just a male-dominated sport.
Not.
Girls can join in.
Absolutely. And they're not sponsored by the ECB yet, but there is an England blind women team now as well,
and
they're off to Nepal to play the Nepal ladies. In Nepal there are over 200 blind girls who play cricket.
Wow.
And in that culture, to be one woman to be playing cricket is amazing, let alone 200.
Yeah.
In a recent competition there was 50 girls for one place. It's that much competition.
Wow.
And England ladies are off to play them in Nepal. So, and in our league game, we are mixed, so there are boys and girls. But we have got now best girls that we've had since I've been playing cricket for 11 years or so. That we've got some excellent girls coming through.
That's brilliant.
So there's no excuse for anyone, really, is there?
Absolutely,
no. No, Joe, no.
One for all, really.
So who was it who was looking for you to play for them? Somerset, that's it.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah, so I shall be hoping to play Somerset and Lancashire, Mike.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yes,
no pressure.
I politely declined.
No, I haven't played Somerset yet this year, so.
I don't know the first thing. My dad was very passionate about cricket. Absolutely loved it. Playing it when he was young and then watching it when he was older, and I could never understand it.
Statistically, cricketers are the worst when it comes to suffering from depression. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because, you know, going away from home with the international team is extremely, extremely tough. It can be. You have to live it out on your own for 2 weeks. You're in hotel rooms. But it's how I've suffered from depression and it's how you really avoid that. You surround yourselves with people who you might not even particularly like, but it's really important to be around people. And I guess that relates to people outside cricket. If you are out there and you're listening to this and you think, yeah, I'm really, really not enjoying being on my own on a Saturday, get out there. We don't judge you. We have cricket for people who just like to, you know, come out on a Saturday and play. And then we have serious as well. So basically we have a development squad and a mainstream squad. You can play however you want with whoever you want. It's just we encourage you to get out, socialise and get fit.
And I think that is actually a very good way to end, isn't it? Just to say, you know, like you said, get out there, meet new friends, enjoy it. And if you've got it, go for it competitively and you never know where you'll end up.
No, exactly. And you don't have to play for England if you don't want to. You don't have to take that pressure on it. You're just going out there to enjoy yourself.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming on and telling your inspirational story and encouraging people to, you know, just take the bull by the horns, I suppose, really, and
yeah.
in life, not just sport, but in life, and just go for it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Hassan. I found that really
interesting. No, it's been an honour. Thank you. It's been an honour. Thank you for asking me to do this.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.